our approach to branding is always rooted in historical context as much as possible. So we worked closely with W.J. Albertson, getting the history of the area. We pulled a lot of references from the first iterations of the logo in the late 70s, that transition into the 80s, kind of how that transitioned over time with the needs of the station. So we pulled a lot of historical reference and then kind of looked to the future, because the you know, with the move for the station and the new direction, it was time for a bit of a refresh that wasn't a departure from the precedent. We didn't want to lose everything and start over from scratch. So that's kind of how we developed our approach to the new design.
From an artistic description then, describe to our listeners what that is.
Sure. So we pulled a lot of, again, historical context from the late 70s with more round corners, for example, pulling that classic oval shape. The subtle kind of nuances that tie back to radio, sound waves, audio. So some will notice maybe that if you draw a line from the W all the way through, kind of following that the peak and valley of sound waves, it forms the W and the M. And so that we pulled that design motif, which we feel is a bit more modern, but in the context of a radio station, especially from the late 70s, we thought it was appropriate.
And then as far as the color scheme that is associated
exactly
with that, explain that and why was that chosen?
That's right. So again, we took took stock of regional colors that are already established with sports teams, the Rhubarb Festival, the official city colors. And what we ultimately found was the original color palette from the early 80s, I believe it was 81, had these, it felt right. And it felt appropriate moving forward. So the new colors are actually based on the original colors, just with slight tweaks to saturation and tone. And then the secondary color palette is sort of complementary to that system. So they may feel like new colors, but they're based on the original identity that was established in the early 80s.
So you see it applied to stationery, that's one thing, but then applying it to lighted signage.
Correct.
What about comparing and contrasting that, I guess?
Yes. When we talk about moving from 2D to the three-dimensional world, it introduces a lot of complications. You have to work with gravity. You have to work with legibility from a distance. And then you're also taking into consideration weather and, seasons. So ultimately we chose to kind of stick to our guns and go with the traditional fabrication method. So the sign is neon on a traditional cabinet. It's all hand painted. All of the glass is hand bent. It's the same way we would have built a sign in the 60s, same fabrication techniques, just with a little bit more modern efficiencies. But yeah, it's a beautiful two-sided sign, neon on both sides. And we had a lot of fun designing this one.
And in terms of the dimensions of it, I know our listening audience is going to drive by and see it, but
sure,
what are the dimensions of it?
It tops out around 8 feet. just under 8 feet tall by about 16 inches deep and about 2.5 feet wide.